Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, underage sale prohibited. Introducing Zone Nicotine Pouches, the perfect balance of unparalleled comfort, longer-lasting flavor, and nicotine that satisfies. Whether you're zoning in during the race or zoning out after a tough day at work, Zone gets you there faster and keeps you there longer. Available in 7 flavors and in 6 and 9 milligram strengths. Find Zone at ZonePouches.com and retailers near you. Own your Zone with Zone Nicotine Pouches.
What's up, everybody? Welcome inside the NASCAR Productions MRN studio here in Concord, North Carolina, where it is another edition of NASCAR Coast to Coast, where we break everything down, all NASCAR regional. My name is Chris Wilner, MRN pit reporter, and of course, joining me from Connecticut is my trusty co-host, Kyle Rickey. K-Rick, welcome back to another episode, my friend. It is Throwback Weekend, where it's special for us to take a look back at our roots, which comes to mind before we get going on this week's episode. What was your first memory of being a race fan or being involved in the motorsports community as we kind of kickstart this special week?
Oh, boy. That goes back to, I think, 1990. So before you were born, my dad took me to the local track here in Connecticut. Went to the New London Waterford Speed Bowl to see monster trucks, but they also had racing on that same day. And I thought I was just going to go see monster trucks. We got to see the Strictly Stocks and the late models and some of the other support divisions that they ran there on a weekly basis, and kind of fell in love with the sport on the local level on that day, and then immediately started watching it on television, and I haven't hardly missed an event since then.
Crazy. And I would have to go up a little bit further. My introduction to motorsports was back in 2001, where my parents took me to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. That was just down the street of where I grew up, and got to watch the Indy cars rip around there for 500 practice. And I said, this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Been in love with cars ever since. Did some racing myself. Then, of course, here we are joined at the Motor Racing Network. So good stuff as we kick off Throwback Weekend at Darlington. We'll get into that in just a little bit. We've got a great show for you. Of course, this show is brought to you by Wheel and Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Wheel and Engineering hopping on board for Coast to Coast. Kyle, we've got a great show. Of course, we're coming up on some really big races in terms of short track races, including North Wilkesboro coming up next week. But let's talk about the week that was before we get to our special guest of the week, and that is Ryan Preece. Of course, we've had him on the show as a full-time modified driver before now his foray into the Cup Series full-time. But this past weekend, we've had some incredible racing across all of the main NASCAR regional series, including the ARCA Menard Series out at Kansas, which you heard that called live on the Motor Racing Network, where Connor Mosack picked up his second straight Kansas win, his second ARCA Menards platform victory of his career, and he did it in a pretty dominating fashion, although it kind of came on late for Connor as he had to go out and beat the car that he won in last year, now in the car that finished second a year ago.
And that's Tanner Gray that finished in the second spot. Dean Thompson was third. Relatively clean race to open up a busy weekend there at the Kansas Speedway. Five different winners now in five races. None of them are full-time in the ARCA Menard Series. They are all part-time drivers. Andres Perez, the championship point leader by one over Greg Van Alst. They have yet to pick up their first wins of the season.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where consistency may pay off, as a lot of these drivers like Connor are not quite full-time, kind of moonlighting some races, and so it could be interesting to follow that points gap, although we keep saying it every week. I mean, it is just a matter of time for Andres to pick up a win, and when he does, I think more will follow, so we'll see what happens, but of course continues to lead the championship. Tanner Gray led a whopping 86 laps of the 200 lapper, just couldn't quite get it done at the end for Joe Gibbs Racing, but how about Venturini Motorsports getting three in the top five? Everybody in the top 10, including Amber Balkan and Tony Breidinger in the 8th and 10th positions, again showing kind of their consistency over the year, but Amber's climbing up the points already inside the top 4.
And with a broken foot.
Yeah.
Pretty big hit for Amber at Dover Motor Speedway the week prior. Was able to ice the foot during the week, was able to get some rehab done and get her prepped for the Kansas Speedway on Saturday. She said the hardest part of the weekend was, you know, putting her racing shoe on. But once it was laced up and ready to go, she really felt no pain and she was good to go. And like you mentioned, another good top 10 finish for Amber. Tony Breidinger was in there in the top 10 as well. I believe the first car one lap down. So full-time drivers, just gathering those points on different types of racetracks. At the same time, gaining experience behind the wheel. I know both of these young ladies have been around for a couple of years now, more recently on a part-time basis, but good to see them back full-time and doing well.
100%. And of course, their teammates, Chris Wright, Dean Thompson in the top five, as well as Jake Fincher, Talladega winner. So a lot of good running up there. And again, Pinnacle Racing Group now back-to-back winners with crew chief Shane Huffman with two different drivers. So could be on a roll. Things to watch as the ARCA Menards Series next heads to just down the road at Charlotte Motor Speedway for the General Tire 150 on Friday night, May 24th. The Z-Max Cars Tour was in action at Ace Speedway, one of the coolest, fastest racetracks in North Carolina. And tell you what, in Altamaha, North Carolina brought out the crowd too as well. Even brought out some celebrities. We had Chris Rice, president of Colleg Racing, on the Flow Racing broadcast, which was fun to watch. But it was Carson, the Ace Quapple. Ace at Ace. See what I did there? Third straight win at that racetrack and got himself back in the championship hunt with a good run, but he had to battle Brendan Butterbean Queen yet again at the end.
And had to come up through the field. Started in the eighth position, methodically made his way to the front. Some of the other drivers in front of him had some troubles, but mostly under the green flag, a lot of clean passing. Ryan Millington also in the mix there. So great race for the Cars Tour. Tight track, was fun to watch on Friday night to kick things off. Not a lot of damaged race cars leaving the property, but some incidents nevertheless that kept the field bunched up.
Yeah, a big part of that was the tire management and what Carson was able to do moving through the field. Another second place finish here in the last couple of races for Brendan Butterbean Queen. Of course, he's going to do double duty at Wilkesboro here next week between the Cars Tour, where he had won last year, and then of course running for Tricon Garage in the Truck Series for his debut. In that series, Caden Quapple got his first Pro Late model win as he tries to defend his series championship in the Pro Lates from a year ago, taking the win out there at Ace, holding off Spencer Davis, who was super impressive, having to fight through the field several times after making pit stops, and Caden Honeycutt, who had a top five in the truck at Kansas on Saturday night. So good stuff in the Pro Lates. Now let's go modified racing before we get Ryan Preece on the line. And it was the Granite State Derby, the first Granite State Short Track Cup race of the year, the three that are going to be at Monadnock Speedway. This was round one, and round one goes to the 21-year-old Jake Johnson. We talked about him earlier this year, Kyle. He was going to get a win for Old Blue. Old Blue back in victory lane for the first time in over 7 years. What a big win for Jake and that team.
And an intense battle for the lead late with Ron Silk. They came together on the back straightaway going into three. Silk hit the wall, fell back to the latter half of the top 10, was able to manage a top 10 finish when all was said and done. But it was cool to see Old Blue back in victory lane. I mean, that team started by the late Len Bowler back in, might have been the late 50s, early 60s, had been part of modified racing for decades and decades and decades, ever since the start of the Whelen Modified Tour in the mid-80s, winning national championships prior to that. And so good to see that team kind of kick off throwback week that we've all been talking about on the national scene, kind of kick it off last weekend at the Monadnock Speedway with Old Blue and one of their youngest drivers and one of the youngest drivers that have ever won for them, and Jake Johnson at just 21 years old.
Yeah, I mean, look at the list of names that have won in Old Blue between Ryan Preece, who we'll have here in just a minute, Matt Hirschman, some of those veterans that have been behind the wheel, and now it's the next generation, and Jake Johnson, who signed full-time to run that car this year, getting the first win in 2,500 days, which is just over 7 years for Old Blue. So congratulations to the Bowler family on getting the win. Austin Beers finished second. Patrick Emmerling, having a good full-time season back on the tour, finished third. Craig Lutz was fourth, and Matt Hirschman, who I just talked about, finished in the top five. Of course, Riverhead Raceway, one of the iconic modified racetracks up there on Long Island, coming up next for the tour on May 18th. Some other winners this week, Kyle, before we get to Ryan Preece. Chris Pelkey won the ACT Community Bank 150 out at Thunder Road. Cody Coughlin, Anderson picked up the JEGS CRA All-Star event, and some guy named Ty Majeski won another late model race, but this
Imagine
one
that.
Was the Joe Scheer Classic out in Wisconsin at Madison, his second ASA Midwest Tour win of the year. And speaking of ASA, it's been a bit since we've seen the National Tour. They're getting ready to ramp back up here in at the end of May, so we'll see what kind of streak old Ty can go on. But imagine that, Ty Majeski, another late model win this year. All right, let's get Ryan Preece on the phone. We're going to talk all things Throwback Weekend coming up, and of course his start in racing as a legendary modified racer coming up through the ranks. We'll have Ryan Preece standing by here. Coming up next on the flip side of this break, you're watching NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Welcome back into NASCAR Coast to Coast here on the Motor Racing Network, presented by Whelan Engineering. Chris Wilner, Kyle Rickey, and as promised, joining us via Zoom from the shop, it's Ryan Preece, driver of the number 41 Stuart Haas Racing Ford Mustang in the Cup Series. And Ryan, it's Throwback Weekend, and what better guest could we have this week on Coast to Coast as somebody who's we've had on this show as a modified full-time driver growing up in New England and now obviously in the Cup Series. But how's it going? You're ready for Throwback Weekend? You got a special scheme coming up for us this weekend.
Yeah, man, I'm pretty pumped about it. You know, anybody from the Northeast and really me, it was special to me because it was a scheme I won my championship in. So that and just the history and kind of how my whole career's been, seeming like everything was falling apart, and then you get a call from a guy like Eric Sanderson to come drive his modified, and ever since then, it's really just taken off. So for me, it was a good opportunity to honor him, because when I look back to everything, he was truly one of the many, but one of the biggest opportunities that I got. And you know, I feel like it set the foundation for where I am today.
Hard to believe that was over 10 years ago with Flamingo Racing, a great scheme. Obviously Northeast Modified fans will recognize it this weekend. How did that come to be though? What's the process of coming up with the idea from and to getting the car on the racetrack this weekend?
Yeah, so the idea came from United Rentals and everybody SHR. The colors just kind of definitely played into it, right? They've wanted to put orange in some of their schemes to promote safety on the job site. So that was a good opportunity to do that. And that was the first thing. I started looking back through old race cars that I had driven and NASCAR had put out, that instead of it being old schemes, they said, aim for something more on your regional or local level. So that, you know, when I started looking through and saw that scheme, I said, this is going to fit right in with everything United Rentals and what SHR is trying to do. So it was really easy. They loved it. There is no doubt that you will not be able to miss that race car on the track, which is exciting. And I'm pumped about it. It's I know Eric's coming down. Eric Sanderson's going to be at Darlington this weekend, along with a few other people. And, you know, for them, I'm sure, how many racing owners have the opportunity to have their paint scheme put on a Cup car, right? So it was a good way for me to feel like I'm doing something for him.
Absolutely. I mean, super special for Eric and yourself, and there's a few other drivers kind of going back to their roots as well that we'll see this weekend. But Ryan, before we talk about this year, let's kind of go back, and this being Throwback Weekend, talk about your start in racing. I believe in quarter midgets at age 7, much like myself, I started around then in quarter midgets. But what initially got you into racing before everything else that has transpired? What was the initial bug that got you in a car at such a young age?
Well, you know, feel like it's tough for a lot of kids when you're young if you aren't born into a racing family. I was born into a racing family. Both my father and my grandfather, they loved racing and they had race cars. Well, there was a quarter midget track 5 minutes from where we lived, and one day I remember my father said, hey, let's go check this out. You know, it just from there you fall in love with it. And I remember my father taking me up and down the road in his late model when he had to shake it down or whatnot. So I spent a lot of nights being around racing and you know, visiting race shops. The big thing when I was young that I used to look forward to was when my dad would take me to some of the local fab guys who built cars in our town, and we'd go to Dunkin' Donuts and we'd get coffee for them and just hang out with them for an hour. And, you know, that was a big deal for me. So, you know, just those are the memories. And, you know, moving forward, as I grew up and got older, going from quarter midgets to go-karts to micros, some modifieds and, you know, all that stuff, it's just been a real whirlwind because, you know, growing up as a kid, I loved race, watching the Cup Series on TV and idolized some of those drivers. But my focus and goals as a race car driver were never, hey, I need to get to the Cup Series. It was, I want to go race this and I want to win. Every week it was, I want to jump in this modified or this midget or whatever it may be and go win. So, you know, ultimately to have the opportunity to get to this level and compete and do all those things, it's truly a dream come true. But, you know, I love everything about racing, what it teaches you is life lessons, perseverance, you know, as a team, what it takes to be successful. So it's awesome.
I want to talk about the ultimate throwback scheme up here in the Northeast for a moment. Old Blue, which we talked about at the top of the show, won last weekend at the Monadnock Speedway with Jake Johnson behind the wheel. That Bowler Racing team has been around for decades and decades and decades. You got your first win with that team. What does that team mean to you and just in the modified community in general?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously Michael and Scott and Greg and all those guys, I drove that car, 16 years ago, I think it was my first Wheel of Modified Tour win, if that's correct. We had a lot of fun together. We had a lot of fast race cars during that time. I remember I got my first pole and my second start with them, and we broke the track record. And so they've been building their own race cars. They build their own parts and pieces. They're not, you know, they're not going and buying a kit car or you know, somewhere to start with. They're doing all this themselves. So to know really what the foundation of their chassis is and all the parts and pieces that they've built and what Lenny, you know, pretty much started with, and to see it's still winning today, it's pretty incredible. So there's definitely times where I look at photos. I enjoy going on Facebook and checking out all the high-res photos of everybody's cars, because what's cool about a modified is you can't really hide secrets for too long. If you are going to hide it, it's usually through the rear suspension, but when it comes to the front, you can figure out what people are doing really quick. So, you know, obviously the three car, they've got a lot of good things going on. I'm sure they're going to have a pretty solid year this year.
Absolutely. And Jake, just one of the many kind of youngsters kind of taking over this new generation of modified racers here in 2024. Ryan, what the passion behind modified racing, not only driving, but even just working on the cars, where did the kind of the mechanical side of things kind of grow within you? Because I know you enjoy just as much being in the shop working on the cars as you do getting behind the wheel.
Yeah, so for me, I remember there was one night we were at Thompson, and, you know, I had been winning races, and then there was one night that I think I couldn't get out of my own way. I was running 28th, and I'm like, man, I don't understand this. Why am I running 28th? And that was kind of when something set in along the lines is you can't drive a slow car fast. And, you know, at that point in time, I was working with a company called Chassis Dynamics, and they built their own race cars. And that was when I just started really kind of listening to what they were talking about when it came to changes, doing my own tires and becoming part of the process to make speed. That was really, it all started because I wanted to make my cars faster to make it easier to be fast and not necessarily feel like you were hustling it to get everything you could. You know, I'm fully capable of doing that, but it's certainly a lot easier if you just have a super fast race car, you could plug and play and go wherever you want. So, that was really how it all started. And then the opportunity came to where I was racing for Eddie Partridge, part-time. I was full-time in the Xfinity Series in 2016. I was running 20th to 15th, and I was used to winning. And I had an owner up north that said, hey, I'll hire you full-time to work on the cars, crew chief them, do the whole thing. You just got to move back up. So in 17, I did. And that was really the first year that I would say I had the opportunity to take full control And, you know, that was one of my most successful years in the modified tour, and it was great.
You still continue to dabble when you can in modified. So what's your schedule look like right now? I know you got a full plate on the cup side of things, but every once in a while you're able to get away. Are there any of those races coming up?
Yeah, so right now I'm actually building a new chassis. I'm putting together a new car for Loudon. I'm going to run the wheel and modified tour race there. And there's probably going to be a few other shows. Hopefully everything's super fluid just because my schedule changes so much, but I plan on trying to go to the tri-track race, White Mountain at the end of July during one of our off weeks. And, maybe I'll even try to get to that midweek show somewhere in Connecticut. We're not really sure about it yet, but, there's a lot of stuff I wish I could do and a lot of things, but my biggest thing as a race car driver is, when I show up to the racetrack, it's being 110%. And because I feel like as a cup driver, I have to win, or at least entertain everybody trying to win that race. And, you know, it takes a lot. You know, what most fans don't realize is the amount of effort and resources it takes in one person, or, you know, even these guys that race weekly to go do that show or go get to the racetrack on a Friday night. While having your job, right? It's a lot of hours away from your family. And so, you know, it takes a lot. So there's quite a few races I plan on trying to do, but the number one right now is the Wheel Modified Tour race at Loudon.
I know you said there's a lot of stuff you still want to do, but looking back at your...
Kyle Larson brings his Chevy and four tires to Noco Racing Fuel.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR.
Money stop here for Ryan Blaney. Four tires with Sunoco fuel.
From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Your career, you pretty much have won it all when it comes to, you know, the Whelen Championship in 2013, your track championships at Thompson, all the wins at Stafford and all over the country. What are you most proud of when you look back at your modified career and your kind of NASCAR regional career growing up? I mean, we saw the emotion on Victory Lane even just last year in Martinsville when you had your newborn daughter Rebecca there in Victory Lane. So, I mean, what stands out to you in terms of your accomplishments on the modified side?
To be honest with you, all those accomplishments that happened, I mean, I'm really proud of that 2013 championship and those track championships. They mean a lot to me. But when I really started doing everything, and when I say doing everything, coming up with the setup, the different ideas, and you know, every time I strap in that race car and we win Martinsville, that felt amazing. Not just because it's Martinsville, but the amount of hours and everything, the process of what you do with the setup and when it's fast. So every single one of those means so much to me. And I would say because of the effort and the time that you put into it, when you go and succeed, every single race feels like the first. It's just like, man, this is so rewarding. So, I mean, obviously when you can bring home a grandfather clock, it feels really good. But yeah, I mean, every time, I don't care if I win Loudon in July, that's going to feel like the biggest race, you know, but. What I can say outside the Wheel Modified Tour, one day when we do win in the Cup Series, good luck to my wife trying to keep me under control for the next few days, because Kannapolis might have themselves a time trying to chase me around.
Yeah, I think you get a pass for that for sure.
So Chris mentioned it a moment ago, you know, your daughter, you know, less than a year old now. How has life changed for you in this last year?
Well, the hours of me going to the race shop, going in my race shop in my backyard, has definitely changed. Certainly because I used to get home and just, you know, bury myself in the garage. And when I came into the house, I came into the house. And right now, it's not really fair to my wife to do. So I try not to do it as much. But it's just really, I've learned planning and trying to be ahead on all that stuff. So certainly it's changed my life for the much better, because when you come home, even if it's a bad day and you see her smiling face, she doesn't care if you ran 25th or 10th. Like, she's just happy to see you.
Yeah, puts things in perspective for sure. And obviously with this weekend of Throwback Weekend too, kind of thinks about the importance of, you know, this time to reflect on your roots, but also in your personal life. Didn't you meet Heather at Stafford? I mean, short track racing brought you your wife. So how special is that in that connection that you guys have now to not only short track racing, but Stafford kind of starting your new chapter of your life back when you married Heather?
Yeah, I mean, that can be good or bad because she knows too much. She knows too much about racing, and she can really challenge you on the decisions you make. But at the same time, she's somebody who understands, and she's been there for it all. She's been there at the lows of lows, when you pretty much have nothing, or, you know, things aren't going your way, but at the highs of highs. So certainly, you know, I'm very lucky to be married to somebody who's my best friend, as well as somebody who can just lend an ear sometimes when you need to vent and talk about racing and not just yes or no, you know? So, what I do joke about is some of the chassis that I have sitting around and I'm working on trying to build some of them is putting like a little crate car together and let her go race again. So maybe we'll do that one day.
Well, we should mention she's a multi-time SK Light winner at Stafford Speedway. And you ran against her in the SKs, right?
Yeah, that's why I say we had some difficult conversations going home some nights, but some nonetheless I'll never forget.
For sure. I mean, that's a unique memory not too many of us could share, so that's pretty awesome. Before we let you go, let's just summarize 2024 on the Cup side of things, obviously, as we go to Darlington. Not the start I know you guys want in the 41 camp, but what are some of the building blocks you guys have been working on over the last several weeks to get where you want to be, especially as we kind of hit this all-important summer stretch? Because, man, we don't have a break until the Olympic break, so it's still quite a bit of racing here still to come.
Yeah, no, I think we were starting to get in our stride there for 3 weeks. Martinsville, Texas, and Talladega somewhat. We were at least consistently somewhere around, you know, 12th or 10th or whatever it was. It's just, man, Dover, we had that collector fall off or whatever happened with that. And then last week, they were kicking they were a punch in the gut. So, yeah, I think moving forward, it's just every week's a new opportunity to turn it around, and that's what's going to define you as a team, is not letting that hole just keep burying you deeper and deeper. So, we're gonna look forward to Darlington this weekend, because for me, I know I'm putting that much more effort. I got somebody that I want to have a good run for. You know, not that I don't want to have a good run every week, but they're going to be there. The guy who gave me that opportunity. So having that paint scheme on the car, and it means that much more to try and do that. So I'm feeling pretty optimistic that Darlington could be that week that we can get this train back on the rails.
Final question for you. Where does Darlington stack up on the list of favorite tracks, or maybe not, for Ryan Preece?
Well, the Lady in Black can be good to me, but she can also be bad. She can be there's times where, you know, I remember back in the 37, we were running top 10 and I had a freaking rod throw out the side of the block. So it was, there's been certainly times of what seemed like was going to be potentially a solid run. So it's a place that I enjoy driving, but I just need to find that horseshoe or something. Maybe I need to go steal one off my horses at home.
It's not a bad idea, actually. I forgot about that. Before my last question for you, just kind of to look ahead to North Wilkesboro, obviously you got to run a modified out there and test the new asphalt. What was that like? What can we expect to, not only on the Cup side, but some of these late model drivers going to be able to test it out first here in the next week and a half?
Yeah, so I think as it rubbers up, the groove could potentially move up. I could be totally wrong, but it is super, super fast, super smooth. And, but what I will say, the character of Wilkesboro, the height, you know, where you're going uphill and downhill into turn one, it's still there. That little bit of freeness when you're getting off the gas and trying to turn off into the corner, it's still a thing. So, I think the way you have to go about it and driving that track has changed a little bit, where forward drive was going to become such a thing, forward drive and entry stability. We're now kind of got to mix it up a little bit and on how you get your speed and how you make the car last. So nevertheless, it's going to be it's still awesome to have Wilkesboro back. You know, I've said this story before, that before that race, when I went there and when they opened, I didn't care about like Wilkesboro, because I had never been.
Yeah.
I didn't have my own story to tell. But when I showed up and I raced there, I was like, man, this place is badass. This place is so cool to race at. And I enjoyed it. So now I hope it creates great racing. I hope it is packed in the stands, and looking forward to watching that late model race and being there in a few weeks.
And you got two new tire compounds to figure out too, which, you know, as a short track racer saving tires, maybe that could come into your wheelhouse.
You know, that could just be a thing. So we'll see.
We'll find out together. Cannot wait for that. Ryan, appreciate you joining us, my friend. Best of luck this weekend. We'll see you down in Darlington.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys.
Ryan Preece joining us here on NASCAR Coast to Coast, driver of the 41 Ford Mustang for SHR. Coming up next, we'll talk about the calendar and, of course, some news and notes here on Coast to Coast. Stick around. NASCAR Coast to Coast brought to you by Whelan Engineering.
Whelan Engineering, a global leader in the emergency warning industry, designs and manufactures reliable and powerful warning lights, white illumination lighting, sirens, controllers, and warning systems for the automotive, aviation, and mass notification industries worldwide. Whelan products are designed, sourced, and manufactured in America and tested on site to meet the toughest industry standards. Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. We never left, and we're here to stay.
Welcome back into the studio here, NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Whelan Engineering. Kyle, we just finished our chat with Ryan. I know a driver we both have known and you've known for quite some time. Pretty cool to see kind of this. Now, he's had the more traditional route in terms of throwback, starting at a young age in quarter midgets, being in a racing family, working his way up, but has made the most of it. But I think I can really appreciate the driver that is hands-on in every aspect of the race team. I know he spends a lot of time at the Stuart Haas Racing Shop as well, but to have the hands-on element with the driving just shows you just how passionate he is and kind of that experience level as a racer.
He's been hands-on all his life, worked on his quarter midgets, worked on his modifieds, obviously his tour cars. He continues to work on them, continues to build them. You know, he just told us he's putting a new car together to race at New Hampshire Motor Speedway here in a couple of months' time. That's all him, with the help of maybe one or two crew guys or family friends that may be down there with him in the Carolinas. Great story with his wife, Heather. I remember when she won her first SK Light race at the Stafford Motor Speedway and went on to win a couple more, raced in the SK Modifieds, which is the premier division at Stafford before they made the move south. And he pursued his career in originally the NASCAR Xfinity Series with JD Motorsports and then the NASCAR Cup Series ultimately with his current team at Stuart Haas. But so much fun to kind of reminisce from those or to those days with Ryan and Heather and how they met. I remember, you know, them watching fireworks together in the pits one 4th of July. Aww. Kind of the first time I really saw them together. They were pitting next to each other and they were just sitting in the pit area between their cars, just watching the fireworks. And, you know, they've been together ever since.
Pretty special. And it's really neat to see Ryan, you know, continue to be passionate about his roots and obviously show that with his throwback scheme, throwing it back to Flamingo Motorsports and his Whelan Modified Tour Championship back in 2013. I think he was just 21 years of age at the time. All right. Some news and notes before we get to the calendar. K. Rick, how about young Carson Quapel? We talked about how he's had an incredible start to those opportunities at the NASCAR Xfinity level for his team at Junior Motorsports, a fourth place at Martinsville, second by barely at Dover. I mean, he had a shot to win that race. Well, guess what? He signed for six more races and it begins this weekend at Darlington. What do you think, Kyle? He's shown he can definitely do it on the short tracks. Dover, we were a little bit questionable, showed he can nearly win that race. Should we be surprised if he goes out and gets a top five at Darlington?
No, not at all. The kid's good. And we've seen it at the short tracks. We kind of expect to see it at the short tracks because that's where, you know, he has come from and that's where he races every weekend. I wouldn't say Darlington is a short track, but it's a good place to learn. I could be wrong and he could crash on lap two.
Hopefully don't say that.
Hopefully that's not the case. I'm sure he'll be up front and contending. And he's a smart kid, right? He knows he just needs to finish the race, log the laps. There's not a lot of laps. It's one of the quickest NASCAR Xfinity Series events of the year. You get 147 shots to get around that place and learn about how the tires wear, learn about the changing of the race car, learning about how the track will change because it'll be a late afternoon event. So learn all those different things. And, you know, he has some more short tracks coming up later this year as well. I think New Hampshire Motor Speedway, It's not a short track, but it's close. A 1 mile oval been added to the schedule. And then the second race at Darlington is also on the schedule for the fall. So really good schedule. Nice to see that Junior Motorsports continuing to fill that seat with their grassroots racers.
Absolutely. Connor Mosack was named to that seat as well a couple of weeks ago with a couple of races. So more short track and NASCAR regional racers getting their shot at the big time. And by the way, Carson also labeled to run Indianapolis on the big oval. So that'll be a neat experience, I know, for he and his father, Travis. Other news and notes, Connor Hall continues to lead. We're kind of going to update it here as we get into the late part of spring. The NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly National Championship, a whopping 220-point gap over Brent Cruz in the Division One standings. Of course, the championship all year long for the NASCAR Weekly Auto or Advanced Auto Parts Weekly National Championship. He's got 11 or 12 wins this year. Just swept Langley last weekend, so continue to just rack up the wins. Hunter Wright leads Dawson Sutton in Division Two, and Josh Baker leads Scott Fry in Division Three. Of course, that will go all the way through the month of October, and then of course Throwback Week in Kyle. In Darlington, where Carson Quapel will be taking part in the Xfinity Series, opportunity to see some throwback schemes. What sticks out to you that have been released over the last couple of weeks, especially those that maybe pay homage to NASCAR Regional and the roots back?
Well, the Ryan Preece throwback scheme is just cool because I got to watch that car for forever until the team, you know, left the modified tour about 3 years ago with Eric Sanderson leaving the sport. So going to be cool to see that scheme back out on the racetrack. I love Shane Van Gisbergen's scheme that he unveiled yesterday, I believe, or 2 days ago, throwing it back to Marcus Ambrose. So that'll be fun. I think they're all cool. It's one of the best weekends of the year. Obviously, Corey LaJoie's got a good one going back to his NASCAR K&N Pro Series days when he won at Bowman Gray Stadium. Yep. I was there back in 2012 when he picked up that win. You got Chase Briscoe honoring his family, being now three generations. I mean, it goes on and on. I love all the short track or the throwback weekends, but this one in particular because it's kind of right in our roots, grassroots of the sport, and all of these really cool short track schemes that, you know, we've watched over the years and grew up with back on the track this weekend.
And some, I know, to folks at home when they're going to watch the race or listen to it on the Motor Racing Network, you know, they may not be as recognizable as, let's say, what Kyle Larson is doing with Terry Labonte, right? Everybody knows the Kellogg 5 car from the 90s. But at the same time, I think it means more when you have drivers that are giving back to, like, Ryan Preece, to his, you know, guy who gave him a shot in his modified tour days, or Todd Gilliland in his Cars Tour kind of throwback. His first ever win on the Cars Tour was his first race, or Dean Thompson to his buddy Ryan Partridge, who's a five-time K&N Pro Series West winner. I mean, you name it, some of those that are giving back to those that gave them an opportunity, I think it means a lot more. May not be as recognizable, but certainly I think Darlington, kudos to you on kind of that being the theme this year. And of course, you can hear all weekend long on MRN. All right, coming up races this week before we let everybody go. ARCA East is back in action. The ARCA Menards Series is off this week, but ARCA East hits the racetrack at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway Music City 150 Saturday on Flow, the third race of 2024. Gio Ruggiero, boy, he's probably sick and tired of finishing second. What do you think, Kyle? Is the Music City 150 the opportunity to get that first win? It'll be hard because obviously you still have Connor Zilich to deal with and William Swalich in the field.
Yeah, it'll be hard. A good entry list. He's been so close. He's been consistently up front. I think we know that that win is only a matter of time for Gio. He's with a great race team. He kind of, I don't want to say surprised a lot of people, but a lot of people took more notice of Gio when he ran so well at the Phoenix Raceway in Arizona back in March. And he's been consistently up front ever since. That's why he's the championship point leader. And a place like Nashville, I think, suits his driving style, a high bank short track, and, you know, kind of a type of a racetrack that he's grown up on up here in New England. So we'll see what he can do this weekend. The entry list has yet to be released, but I expect it's going to be stacked with, you know, all the regulars from the ARCA Menards East Series running for that championship.
Absolutely. And what a great racetrack there at Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. And that's Saturday on Flow Racing. Up in your neck of the woods, Kyle, you get Napa Spring Sizzler Part 2, kind of. It's like the second half of it. The Sunday rescheduled program is going to go off on Friday night out there at Stafford Motor Speedway. So what do we have on tap? Obviously the big show, the 100-lapper, the Napa Spring Sizzler, but I think SKs are also on the docket as well, right?
All five divisions, SK Modifieds, SK Lights, Late Models, Limited Late Models, and Street Stocks, joined by the Tour Modifieds for 100 laps. cross your fingers because there's weather in the forecast. It just seems like we're in that trend. Somebody tweeted up here the other day, you know it's racing season when, and then put the Friday, Saturday, Sunday forecast with all rain symbols. So hopefully things can clear up and the front can either break up or go a different direction between now and Friday night. But that's the plan. 6 o'clock, Flow Racing. Features only, including the $125,000 Napa Spring Sizzler.
All right, we've got our fingers crossed, Kyle. And if not, we'll just look forward to when the next scheduled date is and hopefully continue on with that. All right, and also the NASCAR Advanced Auto Parts Weekly Series National action on the docket this weekend. Florence Riverhead, Berlin Raceway, who just dodged a bullet with some of that nasty weather here this week. Yep. So our thoughts to our folks up there near the southern border of Michigan with just incredible weather. But hopefully they'll be in action this weekend, as well as South Boston, Jennerstown, Langley, Hickory, and much, much more. All right, Kyle, before we let everybody go, your K-Rick Driver of the week this week, and boy, you had a few to pick from. Who took the cake this week?
I like Jake Johnson.
Yeah.
Old Blue back in victory lane for the first time in like you mentioned earlier, 7 years or 2,500 days, whatever that stat was. Really good kid, young kid, up and coming driver. And he gets my vote for the driver of the week. Youngest driver, one of the youngest drivers on the tour with the oldest race team, and a masterful job at the front of the field racing Ron Silk for the checkered flag.
Hands down, I think unanimous vote for that one. Thank you, Kyle, and congratulations to Jake. All right, moving on. We've got the, of course, Motor Racing Network is going to be heading down to Darlington, South Carolina for NASCAR Throwback Weekend that culminates with the Goodyear 400 for the NASCAR Cup Series. You can catch all the action on MRN beginning Friday night with the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series. Buckle up, South Carolina 200, 7 p.m. airtime Friday night. Saturday, a doubleheader. We've got Cup Series practice and qualifying at 10:30 a.m. Eastern time on air with, following that, the NASCAR Xfinity Series Crown Royal Purple Bag Project 200 at 1 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. Of course, some of us get to be involved in the parade that night down there in South Carolina. And then, of course, Sunday, NASCAR Live Race Day gets you set at 2 p.m. Eastern leading into the Goodyear 400 at Darlington. Going to be a great weekend, Kyle. My first throwback weekend at Darlington. I'm looking forward to being a part of the crew down there. And I hope you have a successful Napa Spring Sizzler Part 2, Mother Nature dependent.
Fingers crossed. Hopefully the weather clears up here, and hopefully it's good down there for you guys at the track. Too Tough to Tame, always one of my favorite weekends of the year.
Friday's a little sketch, but so far so good. We'll see what happens till later this week. All right, thank you so much for tuning in on this week's episode of NASCAR Coast to Coast, brought to you by Whelan Engineering, manufactured in America for over 70 years. Whelan Engineering. For our producer, Craig Moore, this week, we give our best to Pat Jaggers. My name is Chris Wilner, and with Kyle Rickey, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week, NASCAR Coast to Coast, where we break it all down, all things NASCAR Regional.